What's up, everyone? It's time for a brand new episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And we've been gone for too long. Stuff happens.
Months upon months upon months on end because of a pandemic.
Yeah, and it's been hard. We've been trying to figure out how to get back, what to start with, because there's so much that's happened, and we kind of don't want to backtrack on a few things, so we're just going to start with what we did with news, because a lot of stuff has happened. So, yeah, let us start with that. So let's start off with Cardi B and Offset. So this one's funny because Cardi B, I think it was earlier this year, or was it last year, that they were saying that they're going to get divorced.
Well, this has happened on and off again. And that's my issue with this whole nonsense. So I am of the impression now that this is just her way, or maybe his way as well. Maybe it's a collaborative effort to drive attention towards them, right? Staying relevant. Kind of like what Kanye and 50 did with their beef on when he had Curtis coming out and Graduation was dropping from Kanye. And 50's like, if it outsells me, I'm retiring. And it was greatly
they got outsold. Destroyed.
Yeah, it was just absolutely obliterated. And he didn't retire. But, I mean, it was basically just a publicity stunt. And I think that about a lot of beefs, quite frankly. I think that's just how the nature of the business is. They just want more sales. So I think that's kind of... That's my impression now of Cardi being Offset, because maybe she is out of her mind, and there's an article that we can discuss that mentions that, but at its core, I think it's all publicity.
Yeah, and it just I think a lot of people have become very aware of like reality shows, and people just love that trashiness,
which I hate.
Yeah, I hate it too. Like people, like I love Keeping Up with the Kardashians or stuff like that because they love how
dramatic it is.
Like I can't. That's the they're trying to sell this as real, and obviously, and everyone knows it's not, but they just can't stop watching. And I'm like, I can certainly stop and turn that off. I can't even.
That show gives me anxiety.
Yeah, and this one also seemed like you said it's very public. It's a publicity stunt as well, because like there's also rumors saying that the reason she also like went back with him was because he bought her, I think in the article says like a Rolls Royce.
Yep.
For 20th birthday, and she's like, no, that's not it, and. She also said that she has like sexual reasons why she
wanted his dick.
Yeah,
and anyone who's heard any of our previous episodes knows I'm a big Cardi fan. I love her music. I don't care necessarily for the personal life aspect. I think I've made that clear on most artists. I just, what music do you provide and do I like it? Is it of value to me? And with hers, yeah, I like a lot of her music. So I don't care about hearing about Offset. And he has some songs I actually really like too. I just don't want to hear about their relationship. I don't care that together. I don't care if they're a done deal. I just hate that it's so relevant and people, it's like constantly thrown in my face. I don't go looking for it, which I know as a hip hop podcast, we kind of do look for those things.
Yeah.
But even without many months of me even searching hip hop, just listening to music, Cardi B this, Offset that, like they're just having difficulties. Who cares?
Yeah, they've made like any type of couple that, are within a genre or just big celebrities in one way or another, like that's all that they're going to talk about. Even if their music is far better than what their lives are or whatever it may be, like that's what gets the spot because that's what people like, unfortunately. Like it's a sad truth.
Yeah, I mean, if good music comes out of it, great. I just rather not hear about the whole tabloids nonsense.
Yeah, but I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't heard like too much like quality of music like, when stuff like this happens.
No, usually not because they're out of their pocket. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe afterwards when they really allow their time, themselves time to make, maybe grieve and deal with the emotions of it all. Maybe it's, you know, how the artist or their emotion bleeds on their sleeve. That's like when it becomes really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be a thing. Who knows? But it doesn't seem like it's going to happen because I still think most of it's fake or fabricated.
Right. Wasn't it Offset? I can't remember if it was him that... like got on stage like at a concert.
That's him. See, this is what I mean. We don't actively look or listen for these things, and we know about it. And it's just, who cares? That is, I'm not saying it's corny. He does what he needs to for if that's his love of his life. Good on him. I just don't care. How is that going to make Cardi's music better?
It's just going to make. I guess the real reason would be like people hear about it, like, oh, Cardi B. Oh, she's a rapper too. Oh, let me listen. What, you know,
or even the Migos music better. I actually. Sadly, I've taken kind of a liking to them. Overall, I do think most of their albums, if not all of them, are kind of garbage. But they have some excellent hits that I love playing or working out to. So
okay, that's cool. I me not so much, but that's okay. That's what makes our podcast good, because we have very
different.
They grew
different, on me. Yeah. I'll admit that. They grew on me. They really did.
Those three songs out of the 20, that's good.
Yeah. It's awful, but I mean, if those three hit, sure, I'll take them.
Do it. All right. Enough about Cardi being upset. They deserve way more attention than we give them. They don't deserve it. Let's move on to another part. So this has been an ongoing thing since July. So this has to do with Tory Lanez. So if you haven't heard, I think it was back in July, Megan Thee Stallion, there's a video circling around of her trying to get into a car, and then there was she was shot at.
Essentially, they were at, I think it was one of the Jenners, the younger one. With
Kylie?
The makeup. Yes.
I think Kylie not, or Kendall, one
model,
of them, I don't
not
know.
Not the model one. It's the one with that. So I think it's Kylie.
One of them's a model?
The one, yeah. The one that was with Tyga and whoever, ASAP.
Oh, that's ASAP, that's.
She's with, oh, man.
But I know she was with Tyga, but she's with, I don't know, because I don't
Travis
follow
Travis Scott.
Oh, is she with Travis Scott?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think him and ASAP, and it's funny because ASAP got mad once because someone confused him with Travis Scott. And so it's funny because they think, and yeah, whatever. Take with it what you will, but I get him confused sometimes as well.
Okay.
Anyways, they were at her house, I guess, for some sort of party get together. They were in the pool. And I guess there's video. I didn't watch the video, but people claim that Megan was jealous of someone that was there. I don't know if it was Kylie or someone else that was there, because Tory Lanez was kind of cozying up to them and paying more attention to them, and she was there with him.
Uh-huh.
Then they get into their SUV, whatever. I don't know if it was a Range Rover, just whatever. Some SUV. So it's Megan Thee Stallion, her buddy, a female friend, and Tory Lanez, and I think maybe a bodyguard was in there, or he was outside the car. Shots go off, and Megan basically has bullets through her, like, got shot in the foot twice. Yeah. And everyone immediately suspected Tory Lanez because they're like, it wasn't the girl. And then the cops were super hush about it. Megan wasn't really talking about anything other than, you know, I just need a recovery. I'm going through a tough time. Good on her. I think that I think I'm a big promoter of there needs to be privacy. All your stuff can't be aired out all the time.
Yeah.
She deals with it her own way. I'm okay with that. And personally, I actually like Megan Thee Stallion, and I have kind of a crush on her. I don't usually crush on celebrities, so that's rare for me. So I'm a little bit offended that someone would shoot her like that. And all these memes start coming out of Tory Lanez. I guess he's like 5'2 or 5'3. And Megan Thee Stallion is my height, 5'10. So.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And so
for comparison, I'm almost 5'4. So I guess if you put me and Poppy together, it's almost the same.
Roughly the same. Yeah. But I mean, and that's. So obviously he's a rapper and there's like an ego attached. So people are obviously trying to attack him by making these memes because that's how they thought they would defend Meg Thee Stallion. And all these conspiracies on Meg Thee Stallion is protecting someone. And this is like a lot of these domestic abuse conversations started happening and surrounding it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meg is still quiet. Months go by. And then I guess she allures to basically it was him. But I don't think she outright calls him out.
No, she, for the most part, she's just been, I was shot by someone. That's pretty much what she was just saying. And people were saying, well, it had to be Tory Lanez. And so he has allegations on him. He was supposed to have an arraignment today. So he was going to go to court. But the lawyer asked for a continuance. And so they gave him that. I think he was out on bail for, like I said, I think it was like $107,000 or something like that.
Yeah, he can easily afford that, obviously. But
or much more. And he came out. He's been very silent, actually, on this matter. He hasn't really said much. But I guess after this or right before this, he talked about, like, you know, the truth will come out. And thank you for standing by my side. So obviously, he's not going to take a plea of guilty. What it sounds like, he's going to plead not guilty, and they're going to go full court and have, you know, the witnesses and have the jury and all that stuff. So,
yeah, unless the cops have irrefutable evidence, I don't see Meg. Maybe she does. Maybe she. And this is kind of the conversation that ensued, is a lot of women saying she needs to come forward because too many men get away with it because people are too afraid to speak. So she has kind of like that awful burden on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I mean, I think someone should pay for whatever crimes they commit. So, I mean, essentially, we'll just see, I guess, what happens. There's nothing really confirmed. Most people are pretty much 99% sure it was Tory Lanez. But I agree with you. He's not going to commit, or he's not going to say that he's guilty. He's going to commit innocence and let the lawyers kind of just take over from there.
What's interesting, though, is he's... It, okay, let's again, an allegation is not a conviction. We cannot say that it was him. Correct. And that, and we have to abide by the laws. And that's how I always go. Innocent until proven guilty, no matter what the evidence says. Yeah, yes. That's how it's set up. And that's how I think it should, it's fair. But I'm saying if he, let's say he is guilty and he just doesn't want to do it, he is risking a lot, because if he is convicted, he's going to get 22 years. That's like, you're screwed.
Plus, I'm going to remind people he's from Canada, right? Mm-hmm. So if part of the sentencing is that he's kind of banned from the U.S., which if he tours once COVID goes away, you'd make a ton of money in the U.S. with all the cities, right? You've got Chicago, New York, Miami, many places in, what's it called, Cali, right? Mm-hmm. You got Northern California, Southern California. It's probably a lot of missed opportunity and money there, and maybe he loses a fan base. I don't know what happens after this, but we're in this weird cancel culture. But right now, really, I think it's anyone that has that amount of followers or that amount of, I'm going to say the word, I don't like using the word, clout, will never be canceled, right? Because any publicity is good publicity for them.
Mm-hmm.
And our next subject will kind of cover someone who's almost proven that in one way or another. But I'm going to ask you a question in regards to Tory Lanez. Let's say he is guilty. I'm not saying he is. I agree with you. These are only allegations. Nothing has been proven.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, I don't know if he did. I don't know if he didn't. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. What happens to him if he is guilty? If they prove without a doubt, I mean, there's not many options because she's not going to shoot herself twice in the foot. She's not Plexico. But what happens to him? What does that mean for him? Is he canceled?
He
won't go to. Does he serve a full term in jail? Because some rappers do, some don't. We're seeing that with Bobby Shmurda. He's in jail and he's serving whatever sentence he was given.
It depends, like, what you consider, like, you know, being canceled or being done. Because let's be honest here, there's a lot of people who have been in jail, whether they're rappers or they're rock stars, and they continue to make music even in jail. Like, what was it? Was it Yayo that was rapping when he was in?
I don't ever ask me about Yayo. I do not like Tony Yayo.
I don't like him. I don't like him either. But I think he was on the Confessions Part 2 with Usher, and he did his verse over the phone.
Bobby Shmurda's done it too.
Yeah. So saying that he's canceled, I don't know exactly how you, because how I would like.
Well, canceled meaning just from the public eye. Do you think he loses an insane amount of followers and support, meaning money, essentially? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he will. I think he'll still have enough dedicated people to still support him. Okay. Even if he's going to be in jail for like 20 plus years.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'll draw in two artists from different genre. Like, unfortunately, R. Kelly,
mm-hmm.
and Michael Jackson had some allegations as well. I don't know if they were proven or not, whatever the case may be. It'd be interesting to see that after those allegations, to see if they would drop substantially for a certain amount of time, like streams or any sort of memorabilia sales or just their overall influence, or if they increase. Because I'll admit now, I still listen to some R. Kelly songs, and that draws a whole nother conversation of, do we condemn everything from that person because of their awful choices, or do we look past that because art is not part of that? I don't know.
It's odd because it kind of comes back to your whole thing with Cardi B.
Yeah.
Like, who she is as a person versus who she is as a musician, and how to try and separate the two, but people want to, you know, combine them as one. It's very interesting because there's varying degrees on what they've done. Like, R. Kelly is a very, very serious allegations of rape and all that. And there's one that comes to mind is a band called Lost Prophets. Their lead singer, no, this isn't the entire band didn't know this, but their lead singer was a pedophile. And I don't even want to talk about the stuff that he did because I wanted to throw up when I heard about that. And the band did not know any of this. This guy's in jail, going to run in the prison, good. And now it's like, but these guys are also like, they're also kind of put in this area where they don't want to listen because they're like, oh, you're a part of Lost Prophets. But Lost Prophets isn't just a singer. It was these other people.
It's
that
a collective
created,
unit.
Yeah, but they're like suffering as well because they're associated with him. And whether or not, even though they've gone on and stated and have shown that they did not know anything about that, they're kind of like outcast. And a lot of people don't listen to their music anymore because of what the lead singer has done. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I think it's like a great discussion to have that has so many points that can be argued for days.
It's hyper complex and multifaceted, and I don't think there's ever going to be a correct answer ultimately. And at the end of the day, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, I mean, we all own a piece of technology, a phone, that honestly encourages child labor laws. So if we want to go down that route, at the end of the day, we all are the biggest hypocrites. If you know what I mean? Like, the technology we're using right now to get broadcast this information, at some point, some child was involved and maybe paid pennies on the... And again, we won't get into it, but it's an interesting subject of conversation because it comes up so often. Look what happened to Chris Brown after the whole Rihanna thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if cancel culture ever wanted to cancel someone, you would think that that would be a perfect example, right?
Yeah.
And I think there was a group of people that kind of wanted to move that, but he's still making albums. He's still making millions. He's a prevalent figure in the music industry still. In fact, he dropped an album this year, a collaboration album with Young Thug. And I really, really like that album. So
he also did a song with Rihanna years later.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And that's her personal choice. Yeah. If she wants to be a mature enough person to move on for, like, I don't know if I could. Like, she clearly is in that regard, a better person than me. Because whether it be a grudge or even if I was able to forgive, so to speak, I don't know if I'd be able to promote that. But that's her choice. And very mature and, I guess, adult of her if she really did forgive him for that.
I guess it depends. People, and, like, say you can forgive and forget. Some people forget, but they never trust that person again. Doesn't mean you hate them.
We're no longer a thing.
Yeah, and so that can have a different conversation, discussion of what's right, what's, you know, the proper path to take. That part, you know, talking about things that we're using, gadgets that we have, just reminds me of that Kanye West song, "Diamonds Are Fair," because he talks about the gold in the eyes that black men like, but when you know talks about how Sierra Leone, how you get it, it's like, it's this conflict in you.
Yeah. And it's creepy because if you think of the purpose of a gun's design is I shoot guns, I hunt. The purpose of a gun is being lethal. That's it. That's its intention was to kill. And I'm not downplaying what Chris Brown did to Rihanna. I think domestic violence is awful. But you physically recover and think differently between being punched in the face several times and very hard. Don't get me wrong. He's a very strong person versus having a lethal firearm shot twice at you. You know what I mean? The potential of harm is just different on a whole nother scale.
Yeah. Punch, unless you're like a martial artist, a punch really can't kill you.
Yeah. I mean, if you land it right. Yeah. But the odds of it are slim compared to a gun. Like, gun wounds can be fatal and typically are fatal.
And they don't even have to be like in the major organs. Like, you can hit an arm. Like Selena, back in the 90s, she got shot on the shoulder and it hit a major artery. That's how she died. Yeah. Like, you don't think a shoulder getting shot on the shoulder would kill you, but it did.
Yeah. And I didn't want to bring it. I thought it was kind of a funny joke in retrospect, right? So I'm not making fun of the situation at all. But again, Megan is a very thick female. And the best kind of thick, in my personal opinion.
Mm.
I mean, her and Cardi, if they want to split ways, they can. If they ever find me, I'm willing to be the man they need. But Tory Lanez being 5'3", and a scrawny guy too, he's not like stacked or super buff. Someone on Twitter made a joke, basically. He had a shooter. What are his punches going to do to that beast of a woman?
Massage.
Like, I didn't want to laugh, but I did laugh.
Is that dark humor? It's okay.
Because, I mean, she's from... She has thick skin, and I don't mean like metaphorically speaking, right? I think she would throw bones with someone. Like, she would easily fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's 5'3" and she has a height and a weight advantage on him and she's scrappy enough, yeah, she'll probably beat the shit out of him. So the firearm was like his only resort. Like,
he's like, I can't punch her. No, yeah, I would lose.
My punches do nothing to her. But it was kind of a funny thing in retrospect, but... Awful circumstances.
Yeah, of course.
That true justice is served in regards to the legal system. So if he really did it, I do want him to suffer whatever consequences come his way in a fair trial, naturally. And I on this podcast before, I've said it. 2 years in a row, he's had a top five favorite song of mine for that year. I like him a lot as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it pains me. I have a crush on Meg. I love her music too. Don't get me wrong, but I love her. And then his music is something that... Newer school. I know he's not completely new school, but he's still of the newer era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he brings a good name to the newer era. So we'll see what occurs afterwards.
Yeah, we'll see. So, yep. Let's Let's keep going. Bring on to the.
I mentioned this earlier with, you know, no publicity or any publicity is good publicity, right? Even bad ones. So 6'9". We've talked about him before. Obviously, he's a super polarizing figure because he takes shots at everyone. He has no holds bar approach. He recently went out. So I'll maybe start here and then backtrack, right? So recently he went to the hospital because I guess he was trying to lose weight and he overdosed on
weight loss pills.
Yeah, which is odd. I took it like right out of high school. I was working out with one of my buddies. He was like super into fitness and he was ripped. And he's like, here, this will help you with your workouts. He's like, I don't believe that it will actually make you lose weight, but it does help you with your energy levels so you can just crush it at the gym. And yeah, I felt insane amounts of level because it's caffeine packed, but I would take two of those and yeah, I'd feel the effects, but I mean, I don't know how many he took to be able to overdose. Granted, he's much smaller than I am too.
He's really scrawny. So I don't know how much weight I couldn't really see that he'd gained a lot of weight. If anything, I thought he would take protein so he could gain mass, but he took two hydroxy cuts when it's recommended to only take one. And then he also did that with coffee.
Yeah.
So it's extra caffeine, and on the build that he has, that's probably way too much.
Yeah.
So they said he was sweating and then they took him to the ER.
Plus, if he didn't have food in his system, then it was just like literally caffeine just injected to his veins essentially. And I don't know. You're absolutely right. I don't know why he would just go that route because he's smaller and I wouldn't say that he was big. Like, I have far more percentage of fat than he does and I'm bigger than him and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'll talk about his release after the hospital. I just wanted to give kind of that background.
Yeah.
That's why he hasn't been around much. Like, people noticed that he wasn't trolling, and then people were like, what's going on? He's too quiet. They found out he went to the hospital for that reason. He's been released. We'll talk about what he's been doing after his release, which isn't too much.
Yeah, so obviously, I guess we're going to backtrack a little bit more. Like, we know that he was serving his sentence. They took him out because of COVID, and he made his album. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I only listened to maybe two or three songs, and I was like, "Yeah."
I listened to the whole thing, and it was bleh. I agree with you. There was one song I really, really, really loved, and the two other ones, which is funny because they were the singles that he released before the whole album. So, any album song that was on there that wasn't released prior to the album release, I didn't like.
The funny thing, the irony of it is that the album is called Tattletales.
Yeah, he owns it. He owns being a rat. Right. So
yeah.
Here we go with his he went to jail. We talked about that in an episode before.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously COVID happened. We haven't recorded for many, many, many months. But he's always been at the forefront of hip hop news.
Yep.
Because he's so loud. He's a loudmouth. He's controversial because basically no rapper wants to co-sign with him. The biggest co-sign he got was from someone that everybody absolutely respects is Akon. Akon let him have the rights to do essentially a part two, which is not funny. It's actually part three if you really think about it, because Styles P was part two.
Yeah.
But, you know, people say it's locked up part two. No, it's part three. But what do I know, right? So, like, Vlad TV, which I don't care for that channel, they interviewed Akon. But I watched the clip, and Akon was just like, listen, it's music. Got to separate the two things. And he did what he had to do in his circle. It's weird because he completely doesn't care that he snitched, and Akon's definitely someone from a place who would understand not to snitch. So you think that having his co-sign, he had his first big hit out of jail called Gooba, which he recorded the whole video and song in his house. Like, all of these videos that he released have all been within his own house.
He's still under house arrest, right?
Well, I don't think so anymore.
Not anymore.
He's able to, because his last music video, he was actually able to be outside and go to like a different city. And he was actually in New York outside with 20 plus bodyguards. But that aside, Gooba comes out and I'm like, damn, he still got it. Like, that song hits hard. I love the energy in it. It's basically like Dummy Boy all over again. It's just in your face. Again, Onyx, he reminds me a lot about Onyx, like the old 90s group that just kind of like, not fully screaming, but I mean, it is very loud.
It does sound like rap.
It's unique because it's just, it amps you up. It gets you hype. And it's just nonsense that he speaks. And you like it. It sounds good. So I'm like, damn, he's got it. And I made a prediction, which I ended up being wrong. Kind of wrong. I said when he comes back, he will come back. He'll come back to a lot of success in the Latin community. Now, he did attempt to get the Latin community behind him. In his song, I think it's Yaya, he makes a lot of Puerto Rican slang references in his music video,
mm-hmm.
or not in his song. And so I did a bit more research, and then Anuel AA, which is a reggaeton trap artist from Puerto Rico, and then El Dominio, also a Puerto Rican trap artist, they actually had recorded songs with him after the whole snitch scenario. So keep in mind, if we think back, if you ever looked it up, Anuel AA, the reggaeton artist, said he wouldn't be able to co-sign 6ix9ine because he doesn't appreciate people that rat. And he's from the streets, so he's like, I can't be associated with that. So people are like, okay, yeah, cool. That's it is what it is. He's now being considered like a hypocrite and going back on his word, because now he goes on IG Live with 6ix9ine after his release, and they look buddy-buddy. They talk about, you know, making money and music together. Apparently they recorded an actual song, and then all of a sudden Anuel has second thoughts and says, you know what? No, scrap that. I can't have that associated with my brand. So then you have now 6ix9ine calling out everyone who is a rat or has been associated with rats, right?
Mm-hmm.
He called out Meek Mill for being signed to someone under the Rockefeller label, the Rock Nation label, who has FBI documents on basically ratting out some sort of gang. So he's like, so you hate associating with rats, but you signed to ones. Tell me what's the difference. He calls out Snoop Dogg for being a rat because he ratted out, I think, I don't know if it was Suge Knight or something. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought Suge Knight dug his own grave.
He does. Suge Knight has made a lot of mistakes. Yeah. But anyway, I guess there's something that there's controversy. I'm not sure if it's factual or it is not, but there's somewhere where it states that allegedly Snoop Dogg snitched. He claims Tupac snitched. He also actually claims that he and Tupac are no different.
Oh,
But I just read that on my way here. But all this, he's a controversial person, obviously. Again, no publicity is bad publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his music is suffering for that, I think. And people just got tired of him. So he needs to learn to be in your face, but back off. Take a hiatus. I don't know if that's what he's trying to do, because right now he's not on social media talking shit. He seems relatively quiet. In fact, he grew a beard and he doesn't have his colored hair anymore. Like, he took out those extensions and he seems quieter. And I don't know if that maybe near death. I don't know if he had a near death experience. Maybe he did. I mean, he had to go to the hospital. People were saying he seems a bit more humbled and quiet. I think it's a front. I don't think it's a front. I actually think that's how he normally is. His social media presence is,
he's just kind of sick of that. Like,
he's like, let me let it go for a little bit. But I think we'll see it again. It's his way of getting money. And I'm sure maybe there are brands out there that are willing to put their names on him just to sell something. So
yeah, I don't think
we've seen the last of him. And unfortunately, I want to say I'm sad that his last album was a flop, because I guess I liked Dummy Boy so much. But and Gooba just came out. I'm like, if he has 5 songs like this on his album, it's a success. Flopped.
That sucks. But I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I did have a question, though, for you, because I was going to ask you off air, but I was like, nah, I'm going to ask you here. So I think you're also way more into reggaeton than I am. More like, know the artist. Like, sure. I like the music, and I follow them, but I think you know a little bit more than I do.
Sure.
So when they talk about they can't be associated with someone like him, like, do you believe that a lot of reggaeton people are actually not, I guess, like, in a come from a comparable background to, like, what rappers are here? Like, a lot of them are, like, in poverty. And, like, because I mean, I've been to Puerto Rico, and I'm not saying I know everything about it. I know you guys are Puerto Rican too.
Sure.
I never got to experience, like, the entire island. And I know a lot of Puerto Ricans, I think some of them also, like, were born in Puerto Rico, but they lived, like, you know, Miami and New York, where a lot of them go. But I got, my question is, like, do you feel like they have, like, a similar background? That's why they're, like,
they have a very extremely similar background. So I don't know how many people know or listen to reggaeton, but there are some artists. So to give you perspective, you know, the BMG group from, like, Atlanta, what's his, Meech, Big Meech,
mm-hmm, yeah,
basically, like, founded or helped Young Jeezy get up, right? Basically an entire crime mob organization. He's in jail. I don't know if he got out yet, but he's been put in jail for many years to serve crimes for, like, a bunch of different things that are normally associated with gang-type culture and violence, right? Most of the artists out there that get that big, unless they're kind of on the poppier side, like if it's the trap side, most, I'm not saying all, most do come from that exact same background. Like, some of the, like, depending on what area they rep in Puerto Rico. It's a very small island, 100 miles by 35 miles. But it's, oh, I'm trying to think of any maybe U.S. cities where I can associate, like anyone that would know. I guess New York, you have Uptown, right? Where, okay, these are hipsters. These are the people that have money, resources. And then literally crossing the street just two blocks down, you have poverty. These people are in municipal housing, government housing. They feed off of government cheese. There's shots fired every day. Like, you hear gunshots fired every day, and it's normally at someone else. There's territorial gang things. Or like LA. LA is another prime example.
Yeah.
If you just drive around LA long enough, you'll see nice, bad, nice, bad, nice, bad. You can make the distinctions. And they come up in those areas, and that's a lot about what they sing about, like the maleanteo. That's just the street cred. They don't snitch. That's a very big thing out there. To date, and reggaeton is relatively newer, I guess, as a genre of music. I guess it's been around, what, 2 decades, give or take.
Yeah, and in that 2 decades, like, it's changed drastically. Like, if you listen to old school, like, that's why, like, old school reggaeton you listen to, like, old Yankee, old people like that, it's very, like, hard in your face, and it's more raw. Yeah, and street. And so if you look at it now, like, if you take, like, Daddy Yankee has been in the game since, like, almost the beginning. He's the one that started and made it popular. If you compare him to, like, 2001, 2002, to, like, now, he's so different. And a lot of reggaeton people have come, and they've come to more of, like, the, I guess I'm saying more the pop reggaeton and these hits. So that's what's, like, I don't know if they still come from the same, I guess, kind of, they still have, like, the same background, like, as rappers do. Because they still call them trap reggaeton or something like that.
And it's so funny, because Daddy Yankee actually didn't make it big in Puerto Rico. He made it big in the world.
Yeah.
So the people that made it big in Puerto Rico is a duo called Hector y Tito.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak of the street life, Hector and Tito, which is funny because you don't think that they would, they make that type of music, but they seem like humble, nice guys that wouldn't be involved in that. So Hector ended up retiring out of the genre, and he's, like, a pastor now,
yep,
right? He's, like, a very religious person and trying to spread the word of God. In a 9-year span, because of the stuff that he was involved with, over 30 of his friends / family got murdered over drugs and things like that. And so he literally, and he openly admitted it, they made a documentary on it, and he was on it. Obviously, it was recent. I think it came out 2 years ago or 3. And he said, when I saw all these people just kind of dying, I didn't want that to be me. I didn't want that to be my family. Unfortunately, I was involved in that for far too long, and I should have left earlier, but he just ended his ways.
Yeah.
And there's probably 5 other prominent reggaeton artists that have done the exact same, because they are so involved in that culture because it's so bad out there. Again, smaller island, and maybe even more control, because you can't, like, really run anywhere. It's so small.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not saying all of them are street, but the ones that are definitely abide by it. And any of the other ones that are poppy, they still don't snitch. So back to my point, I know it's relatively more young, but there's been no snitching to that level so far that I've observed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyone that even attempts to try to think that they're going to snitch, it's just they're done. Their careers don't go anywhere. The fans don't even support them. Like, even the island is pretty loyal to the don't snitch mentality.
Puerto Rico's pretty gangster. I mean, I guess I tried to go to non-touristy parts too, like where your family, but even I didn't see.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it's funny because, like, my dad, who's not involved in any of that stuff anyways, but he just said, you know, if you're going to be involved in that and you plan on snitching, don't even bother getting involved. Like, so someone who doesn't involve themselves in that lifestyle, he's like, well, they shouldn't have joined and this wouldn't be their problem. Like, he looks at it from that angle. So it's funny because even my dad doesn't believe in snitching and he's not even part of that lifestyle.
He just knows, like,
he just knows that's just not what you
it's
do.
It's not what you do, yeah.
He grew up around people doing it. Right? And he's like, you just don't do it. And we say chotea, which means snitch.
Chotea, okay. Yeah, because he obviously saw, I don't know, if friends or people that he knew just wind up dead. Like, okay, well, I know what not to do. If you want to go with it, that's where you're going to be. You're going to be in a body bag, like, if you start talking.
His dad, our grandpa, obviously, he lived on a specific part of the island that would just ship tons and tons of coke every week. And unless you were from that area, you just weren't allowed in. But, you know, my dad, being my dad, he grew up in that neighborhood as a kid. Okay, he could bring us around. And it sucks because it was a nice beach house. And if it weren't for the kind of area that it was involved in, and my grandpa passed away, they were going to, you know, they had rights to the house, right? The kids, my uncles and aunts. But they're like, this is such a terrible area. We don't want it. So they just ended up selling the house.
Dang.
But I loved it because it was literally 30 yards from the beach. I'd just walk out of my grandpa's house and I'd be in sand 20 yards more. I'm literally touching water.
That was like how where we stayed. That was the beach was like,
yeah,
that. Just across the street, so now there.
For sure.
Dang.
But we'll move on to the next section, which, again, normally we always provide like a new song that we want to listen to, but we have months and months of songs.
Yeah.
So instead, I felt I wanted to switch it up, so I wanted to provide three albums that we've enjoyed so far in the hip-hop genre this year. We're in October, literally middle of October right now.
Yep.
And so much music has happened since we've talked about, and nothing from what I consider prominent artists that I love. Mostly it's been this newer generation. The era of SoundCloud, I think, has finally ended, and we're kind of seeing more independent people come up, or people under just kind of some label deals. But we're seeing a lot of independent music coming out.
Yeah, so let's begin this. I think we'll probably have one album. I think everything else won't. And one is going to be, I'm going to consider a rap album just because of the, because you just have to listen to it. But I'll start off with one. My first one is The Allegory by Royce 5'9". So in these times in the past few years that, you know, there's been huge pushes for equality, especially with African-Americans and black people. And in this album is very prevalent to like what's happening now. And he's being very vocal, even more so in his song, in his album. And in the first track, I think it's called Mr. Grace. It's interesting because he does it. He doesn't really rap. It's more like he's given like a spoken word, and it's really intriguing. And it's a great intro to the album. I really like it. He's coming out with these like nice witty lines. One of them that I liked, whether or not you agree of, you know, your view on that, you know, whatever, but he does a line where he talks about like marches. And he specifically says like, you know, I'm sick of these white people talking. Says y'all won't stand, y'all won't kneel. All y'all with is with marching. And so it's just very interesting, like, how he's like calling people out, like, you're only interested in this because of like this huge show that you're doing with marching up, but before that you wouldn't join us. So he's calling us, you know, hypocrites and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting album to listen to. But he kills it on that. That's one I've been listening to for a while now. And I think it came out in February, that album.
Yeah, and funny enough, I've always been I haven't been a huge Royce the 5'9 fan, meaning I don't actively or religiously listen to his music.
Neither do I.
However, I do think he's criminally underrated. Mm-hmm. Lyrically, he's insane. It's funny, a friend of mine actually said, like, Royce the 5'9 arguably is on the same skill level word-wise and like wittiness of Eminem, which is funny because that's like his others. They made a Bad Meets Evil album. Like, a lot of people are just like, Eminem blows everyone out of the water. There's no one like him. And if anyone's like him, actually, I think Royce the 5'9 is very, a lot of similarities in their style. Again, they're two unique, different people.
If you want to compare them now, I think he's way above Eminem. Royce the 5'9, he's just, his wordplay and everything is just so tight knit, is the best way that I can put it.
He's mastered his craft. And funny enough, there's like, I don't know if it's a Grammy again. I think I've talked multiple times. I don't believe in those award things anymore. Even as a kid, I kind of was like, whatever. But I guess there's the nominations. I think it was, I don't know if it was Best Lyricist of the Year. And I don't know, I don't remember if it was Billboard's or whatever, but his name wasn't on there and he felt he was snubbed. And I looked at that list and I kind of agreed. So there were people on there. There was J. Cole. I'm like, okay, J. Cole deserves to be on there for sure. I've talked how I think out of those big three that we did on once, uh-huh, he's the most lyrical for sure, in my opinion. Then there was Lupe Fiasco. And if you know Lupe, he's not almost. He's so clever with his rhyme scheme and lyricism that it goes over so many people's, because you literally have to pay attention and even sometimes research what he talks about.
Yeah.
But it's so much so that you lose fans because no one wants to do that kind of work anymore. But anyways, I'm like, okay, I can see Lupe being on there. I'd imagine he'd respect that. Rhapsody, someone we've both have argued that is phenomenal. I just think she needs to switch up her style a bit and she'll be up there. But
yeah,
I lyrically, she's already up there. I'm like, okay, those three. And then I can't remember the other ones were, but I think there was Tory Lanez, who is pretty good. I wouldn't put him as like maybe best lyricist. Maybe I'm going to have to find that article and we'll do another episode on it. But I'm like, how are these three people on here? How are these three people on here? Because I felt like these people should not be on there, mm-hmm, as far as lyrics go. But anyways, yeah, that's a good album. It's not on my three. And did we want to rank the three or just say these are three good ones?
I think just three good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't listened to it all the way through. I've listened to most of it, and it is pretty good. I'm going to go with, funny enough, I talked about Chris Brown earlier. Chris Brown and Young Thug, that album, Slime and B, really, really good. I just think it's refreshing. They have, like, club songs, songs you can basically drive around in, roll your windows down, sing to, good beats, interesting play between the two. I think they have good chemistry. I'm not a huge Young Thug fan, but funny enough, I actually pretty much like him in every single song of this album. It's enough to be unique. It's refreshing. It's just got a different take and feel to it because I think that was their intent. They just wanted to make good music that people would overall enjoy. Nothing is too gritty and gangster, and nothing is too poppy. I think it's just a nice mesh between the two.
Okay. That's a good one. I haven't heard that one, but I need to listen to that one.
There's quite a few good hits.
This next one, so I'm gonna consider it a pop rap album, and it's not even an English one. It's from a K-pop group called Blackpink, and their album is just called The Album. Now, I have to give props to our listener, Jose, because he's the one that was like, you have to listen to this album. Like, I listen to some K-pop, but it's very few, and I'm very specific, like, what I like. And prior to this album, I didn't like a lot of Blackpink, because it was a lot of, at least their big hits were either very big, like, clubby or trappy music, and I didn't really like or, you know, wanted to listen to it. But this one, they do a mix of pop and rap in it. And it is phenomenal. They even have like pretty big names. So one, and I think this is one of the people might say is blasphemous who love Blackpink, but I think is a weak single is Ice Cream. They do that with Selena Gomez. That one's very poppy.
Sure.
Very, very poppy. But then they have this song called Pretty Savage, and oh, that's intoxicating. That beat, all their beats are not very overly produced. They're very minimal, but they catch you. They have another one that's called Crazy Over You, and they use what's called the rack scale, which
are you saying on this album? To go back, because some of the music I've heard from them, part of their appeal for me when I heard them was the overproduction style on some of the songs.
This specific album,
got it.
But in one of the songs they use the rack scale, which what the rack scale is a scale they use in Indian music, and they use that in this song, and it's done very well. And then they do one, and this is probably my favorite song on the album. It's called Lovesick Girls. This one's a popular one. And this one, I think you've talked about how you have disdain for people like calling back to like 80s or 90s like sounding. I don't know if it's
only
disdain,
if that's the basis of what their gig is. So okay. I'll say just to clear the air in case there's any confusing fans. I was a fan of Bruno Mars when he first came out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it seemed like his only style that he was willing to do anymore was basically just a mimicry or a mockery of like 80s funk. The songs, but when I realized that that's like now his only thing, I'm like, you're not in the 80s anymore. Tribute to them. If you want to sample them, I love that shit. But if that's your only thing now, if that's how you identify as, oh, I'm now just an 80s funk guy, it just reminds me of like an Elvis impersonator. I don't understand that one bit. Like, if it's Halloween, sure, but there are these people day in, day out that just impersonate and are so obsessed with Elvis, and I get obsession of celebrities, but not to that extent. Like, where, oh, I am Elvis, and they do the voice, and that's too much for me.
You're right. I just remember you're very like, oh,
yeah, Bruno Mars. I'm anti.
And it's like, and he's like starting to affect other people because Cardi B did a song with him, and it was that same style.
Yeah, it's like this 80s funky, like, just move on from this style, please.
So this song has kind of like, it has a synth from like the 80s in it, but they don't use it overly, like the synth's like in the chorus, but like they have the verses that has like clean guitar on there, and then like the pre-chorus is this acoustic guitar, and then it builds up to the chorus that has that synth and has, I guess you could have that 80s vibe a little bit, but it's done really well. I think that the way that they produced it was amazing on this song. And I think I'm trying to do this with each album that I'm sitting on here. There's a line that she says in that song. So basically the song is talking about how they're done with love. They don't like, you know, it's just done. They're lovesick. Not in the way that people like, when I first thought of the song Lovesick, I was like, are they like, I don't know, like too much in love? But this one's like, they're just sick of love. And this is a lovesick girl. So one of the lines she says that I thought was really interesting. She says, no diamond ring that's set in stone. I really like that line. I just thought it was really clever. And I just wanted to add that to my talking of this album. But yeah, go pick it up. The song Crazy Over You is mostly in English. They have a song with Cardi B on there. That one's a poppy one too, but it's a nice one. So it's a really big mixture of like 80s pop and then like heavy trap beat
I'm
music.
I'm gonna have to listen to that. That sound, I know he's mentioned, I mean, mostly to you, he knows I'm not a, I like the sound of K-pop. Do I actively listen to it all the time? No, I don't. But maybe I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, check it out. I guess I've highly underrated them, and I've started listening to stuff now. I'm like, okay, I actually am enjoying what they're doing, because they're very different than a lot of like other bigger.
They're massive, right?
Yeah, like
a lot of people know about Blackpink.
Like people talk about BTS, and they say like they're, and even like rapper like K rappers talk about like how they're rappers as well, but they're. Style is vastly different than Blackpink's, and I think Blackpink's is better. They just don't get, they're not as popular as BTS, but I think they should be.
Well, I mean, I'll just speak on that really quickly. They're very attractive females, and I mean that does go so far. So I'm not saying this has anything to do with misogynistic views, but if you think about the fan base that listens to that style of music, like pop, generally you're looking in the teens area, right? And the girl teens are way more, excuse the term, which I guess is sexist maybe, fanboys. They're bigger fanboys than guys would be. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sure, maybe teenage boy or young boy would listen to it, but they're not going to actively promote it and cry the moment they see them. So I'm just saying, I don't think it's anything has to do with skill set, just the fact that these are these men that maybe these girls find so attractive and they fawn over them versus this other girl group that is just as skilled, if not maybe skilled more. I'm not familiar or comfortable with making that decision.
It's funny
that the fan base is just at react different. So BTS, you just, there's girls that fawn over them. And naturally, I think male stars that look good just get more attention because of that in and of itself. A guy is like, yeah, she's hot. And then they're done with that conversation.
I think it's different. I think it's different though in the Asian culture. Cause a lot of like, if you see a lot of them are older guys, not older guys, but like, you know, guys that are like maybe 18, like to 30 that are their fan base. They're big fan bases then. Sure. Cause they love these girls that either cute or they have more of a sexy look, I guess, depending on the person. But that's like their audience.
Yeah.
Which is, it's interesting how different it is.
Yeah, I'm for sure going to have to listen to that.
But yeah.
So my other one would be King's Disease. It's Nas.
Mine too.
Okay, good. Yep. Honestly, I didn't know that it was dropping, right?
It was a shadow drop, wasn't it?
Yes. And so I'll use this for a moment. Obviously, everyone knows it. Nas is a top two, my second top favorite, or he's my second favorite rapper of all time. And this album kind of reiterated that to me. I think this is his 12th, thinking of the album. Nope, 13th studio album.
Is that counting Lost Tapes? Because I don't know if you count that one, because we talked about Lost Tapes.
Yeah, we count it because it is a body of work that he specifically selected.
Okay.
I mean, the media does acknowledge it. And then
yeah.
When I listen to Lost Tapes, okay. I think we all remember how much I was disappointed in his album when he dropped it with Kanye. And I just, maybe I'll have to go back and re-listen to it, but yeah. I wasn't a big fan of it.
But most people feel the same way about Lost Tapes, so it's
yeah. Lyrics are on point. I think he just, I don't know if he did it on purpose or it's just his level of consistency with his lyricism, but it is Nas showing why he could argue himself as King of New York or essentially a GOAT, right? One of the greatest mm-hmm. of all times, if not the greatest, depending on your style or preference. He had it, and it's funny because now I don't know if it was on purpose or he just wanted to do it because he thought it was unique. Jay-Z's 444 album was produced by one producer, solely one producer. Nas now did the same. He picked Hit-Boy. Hit-Boy's a great producer. The beats are on point, too. I was a little bit scared because Nas isn't stylistically as versatile as Jay-Z is. Jay-Z, pretty much almost any beat, he'll find a pocket where he sounds excellent on it. Nas, to me, he's a very unique style. It's either really emotional, drummed down, like melancholy sounding, or it's gritty New York beat, or like kind of a faster paced pickup. Other uh-huh. than that, not too much versatility. I think he actually showed a range of versatility on his songs. So I think definitely check it out. It's Hit-Boy. Hit-Boy's an excellent producer. Producing is on point. It's on par. 13 tracks. Again, I'm still not a fan of just the 13. I'll take it, though.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's 13, and it's only 38 minutes. There's songs that are at or below or just a little over two minutes.
It's frustrating.
And so
it really is. I get why. I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't like it because I didn't grow up in this era of lack of attention. I loved breaking down an album. sitting at minimum 50 minutes listening to 14 plus tracks.
Yeah, and I liked the production on this one. It was kind of, like I said, it wasn't, you can't really compare it to a lot of albums coming up with recent artists, because it's very different. Because again, they've been very influenced by trap and by SoundCloud rappers and all that stuff that's got, have their little like spawn there in the have their little spot in the spotlight or whatever. And I liked the way they kind of gave some of the instruments kind of a fuzzy sound. I really liked that in it. And there was one reference that he does, and I can't remember which song it was. I wrote it down. And it reminded me of Jay-Z, because he says, they say they want the old Nas back, play the Clue tapes for old verses. And it reminded me of Jay-Z, because he has an entire song on the Blueprint 3 called Onto the Next One, where he basically talks, that's what he says, he starts off with.
Niggas want my old shit, buy my old album.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Onto the Next One with Swiss Beats, and it's excellent.
But. Yeah.
It's your boy!
That's your boy! So, yeah, so it's just funny, like, I wonder if he, like, did that on purpose, because I know they've kind of squashed their whole thing. So I don't know if that was a reference to that or not, or because I mean, because he's such a, he's been in the game so long, maybe they want him to just stay how he was as well. Because like, kind of the whole thing, if don't fix it if it ain't broken. But I think he understands now, the way JC has understood for a while now, that we, you know, you have to just keep changing, because the way that rap is just constantly evolving, constantly
as
evolving.
As it should. I think most music should, right? And that's the thing, though. Jay-Z found a way to evolve with the times while still staying true to his particular style, the way he delivers stories. Again, the man just has an entire arsenal of just what he does, how he does it. That's where Nas maybe has the one thing, that's what Jay-Z has the upper hand on for sure, is his versatility. But that doesn't mean Nas doesn't have the ability to do it or expand. I just don't think he's never tried to, because he wanted to stay so true to his roots and streets that he was maybe unwilling to. And maybe that's why, if I think about it now, I haven't really thought about it, the project with Kanye, because we all know Kanye is hyper experimental. He loves experimenting different sounds, mm-hmm. different styles. And maybe that's why it didn't work, because it was his first go around and he didn't really have a chance to kind of get that style under his feet. Whereas Jay-Z just constantly was doing it throughout his career. So it just sounds seamless, him jumping from one sound to the next.
Yeah.
But again, I agree with you. I think this sounds great. I think he expanded and broadened his horizons a little bit as far as maybe his musical talent. You guys could claim a dick writing, because I'm so nostalgic with Nas. It's just refreshing to hear an artist who I've admired, arguably, you know, all of my known life that I remember, my memory, who I hold in such high regards, come out with such a good album. Like, okay, I can stand behind this. You could play it for those new boys that don't have an attention. I was like, just listen to it, really listen to it and try to dissect it, and hopefully you get something out of it, because this is a man who has influenced arguably most, if not all, and everyone that's famous now in terms of any sort of trap, they've all heard of Nas. They know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to see that someone has come back and, you know, the king is back type of style thing.
Yeah, and like I said, like kind of like with JC, he's keeping to like what he wants. He doesn't want to go completely be involved in the trends now, but he's like mixing stuff up. He's having people that are currently big on his songs, and yeah, it's great. I really hope that he just keeps getting better.
His storytelling, you know, almost critically acclaimed Pulitzer Prize winner, best storyteller. I don't know. I mean, he claims all those. There is some argument to that for sure, saying that yeah, that's arguably in his favor. But
yep,
and he does not have a Pulitzer. That actually threw me off for once. I thought he had one, but
he doesn't, huh?
No, he says it in Hate Me Now with P. Diddy.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, what's his name? Kendrick.
Yeah.
He was the first one. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure Nas did. I'm like, no, I'm just thinking of the stupid lyrics. So he fucking tricked me. But
you got me. You got me, Nas.
Yeah. My third album is another childhood favorite rapper of mine, Jadakiss. Consistent. You would think that, I don't know, he's just different. Yeah, I think he's a rapper's rapper. He doesn't appeal to the masses. His album was called Ignatius, and Ignatius, I don't know if anyone knows, it was like a spiritual leader. So inherently, I don't know if he did this because of Kanye's whole Jesus is King thing. His album is very influenced and like God-focused. On the second track, I forget the name of the track, he goes off on basically kind of essentially a conference or a prayer with God, and then he talks about these verses and Bible verses. So it's very him reflecting on his lifestyle, where he's at now, what he's going to do moving forward from a spiritual angle. How has he been as a human? Is he tainted as a human because of what he's done? Has his good deeds offset his bad ones? And there's other artists on. I don't want to spoil, just go listen to it. Like, he's such a unique artist. If you've never really grew up on LOX or maybe even 90s music of hip hop, just listen to it and listen to the music. Don't just listen to the beats. The beats are really good. It's well produced. It has elements of melancholy sounding. There's moments of like high spirit sounding. There's moments of like deep inner reflection. It's a well done album from an artist who I think is mostly one dimensional. I still love him for it, but he's such a gravelly, gritty guy, super New York street style. And this album showed a completely separate side to him that I'd never seen. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe this whole COVID thing has people in their feelings, although maybe it didn't, because this released in March. So, I mean, he probably would have recorded it a couple months beforehand. And
right.
But either way, the fact that he, again, also broadened his horizons, just like Nas did, I was happy to hear it. Again, maybe I'm fanboying over it. And the fact I'm like, oh, listen, I have two of my all-time favorite rappers released two albums this year, or one album each respectively. And I did mention, I don't know, I'm still holding on to this fact. In 2019, I said, you know, we did our top five albums list.
Uh-huh.
And I said, notably, we didn't have any solo albums. We did have a joint album with the Dreamville.
And they also kind of released one this year, like a...
Yeah, but
I didn't count that. I was like,
We did not have solo work last year at all from Drake, from Kendrick, from J. Cole, and Jay-Z, who are all four of them are juggernauts in the hip hop industry and community. Everyone's always watching out to see what they're doing.
Right? Uh-huh.
Eminem did release something this year.
Earlier January, I think.
Yeah, his issue, he has a very loyal fan base, and rightfully so. I consider myself in there, but I think I'm pretty objectively open to the idea that he's dated. He has such a... His style, what would it be? Not acquired. What's the right word? You're good with words too. Help me with that. He's so distinct in his style that it doesn't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just doesn't have music you always want to. He has some songs collectively as his discography. Not a lot of it you want to just listen to and make you feel a specific type of way. A lot of it is just angry.
I mean, if you're angry, go ahead. That's his
style. But I mean, a lot of people don't always want to just be angry, but at least not in hip hop. People want to hear different things. I'm still a fan. I still think he's a top MC of all time for sure. But his music dates really, really quickly.
I guess he tried to do something different, like he did with that. What was the album before the Kamikaze? Because that one, he tried to do something different.
No, I am a fan. I listen to it, but I understand what people say is like he has no replay value. I don't think so. Again, maybe I'm too attached to him, but I see it. It just doesn't sound the way others do. It doesn't age the same way. Hmm. He has probably two or three albums that have aged really, really well. Outside of those, not so much. Where was I going with this? I forgot. Why did I go off on that?
We were talking about...
Oh, yes. So... sorry, the four. So
The four, yeah.
I'm still holding on it because I said all four, and I don't know if COVID is the reason I'm wrong, but I still think all four of them are going to drop something before the end of the year. If not, they'll drop it next year. But Jay-Z is due for an album because 444 has been out for a couple years now.
Yeah.
Kendrick dropped Damn a while back. He needs to drop another one.
So 2017, 16?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was a while.
J. Cole, again, his solo work. I'm a big fan. Drake had Scorpio in 2018. So we are due for albums for all four of them. And
I want to say that they've been like also like very quiet. Like, I mean, I know that they...
Jay's always quiet though.
Yeah, Jay's. But the other ones haven't been like... I haven't heard anything vocal about them, even like on Guest Versus. And again, we all know that COVID has also stopped a lot of that from happening. But even still, like, they still haven't said anything or have alluded to them working on an album, which again, it could be because they want to do a shadow drop, because that's the big thing now to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Drake has dropped actually quite a few guest verses, and he's always in.
But I think he's the exception though, because
he's a great way at staying relevant, and it's actually not annoying what he does. So because I get so many doses of him, he's not the one I crave the most. Funny enough, Jay's my absolute favorite. No surprise there, but J. Cole is the one I'm most excited for. I hope he's been having a Kanye moment, right? What you know about sitting in a room doing five beats a day for three summers. J. Cole produces his own music, and that's why it works so well for him. I'm hoping he's just, you know, throughout all this whole quarantine or, you know, social distancing thing, he just decided to dial in. I hope he's been in his studio making a plethora of beats, thinking of just insane things to communicate. Obviously, the BLM movement, which we agree with, he's going to incorporate that for sure in his music, but I want other stuff to come out as well because I think he's vastly emotionally versatile, and he's a different style of Kanye, like a different era of Kanye, in a different way, and that might be blasphemous for some people, but part of what makes his music so good is because he gets to produce his own beats and then put his own lyrics into it. So whatever vision he has almost full control of it, which is why Kanye, I think, is as great as he is, because he does both things. He can do his own lyrics if he wants to. Sometimes he uses ghostwriters, but then he uses beats to his advantage. Like, he's like, I want this to be an entire performance and a story, and it plays off beautifully.
Yeah. So,
I'm most excited for a J. Cole album.
Yeah, year's not over yet. We have November, December, so I'm hoping. I'm really hoping that we get more music from them, but...
Yeah, and last thing we'll mention before we end is that we've been in discussions. We've promised probably well over a year ago, top 50, what we think personally, greatest hip-hop artists of all time, alongside a bottom 50 worst rappers of all time. We're collaborating on some consistency in regards to the categorizations and what qualifies or constitutes why they're great or why they're so bad.
Yeah. And it's going to take a while, but we're trying to figure out how we're going to deliver it.
Yeah, there's the logistics behind it, because it could be a 4-hour, 5-hour episode. That's too much to sit through. We thought of, we'll do, you know, top rappers 50 through 55, and then do the bottom rappers in that same order, and then just do them back to back. So you'd get 10 essentially from each of us. And maybe once a month or every other month until we complete it. But it's going to be a pretty arduous process because I'm pretty decisive in most things, but I also like keeping an open mind. And I can see why others would say this is the greatest artist, and I want to remove most biases. Essentially, what appeals to you is what you consider great. So there is going to be some bias, but we also want to take other aspects to make it less biased.
Yeah, and that's going to take a while to also finalize what that's going to be, because there's so many different influences for different reasons, either based off influencing other people versus just they themselves being good at A and B and C and whatever. So,
for example, DJ Goose doesn't think Manny Fresh is good at all, at least not as a rapper.
I don't think he's
a huge Manny Fresh fan. However, I think I'm reasonable enough to think he wouldn't even be in my top 25 list. Maybe if, depending on the categories that we rate these people on, he could make a 50, but we'll see.
Anything's possible here. <There's>, all right. Well, yeah. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. So we'll be pushing out episodes again.
Yeah, we will. So signing off, this is DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.